Having Sage-approved audio for our car rides is a literal lifesaver for my nervous system, and I love making lists of podcasts to share with him when he's ready. I was so excited to hear about a new show called Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as MATH, Math, geared toward the 6-plus crowd. Every episode follows two best friends, Max and Molly, who work together to solve riddles and math equations during their time-traveling adventures. Recently, we had some family visiting, and on our way to dinner, we popped on an episode of Mysteries About True Histories, Math, with my niece and nephew in the car. In this episode, Max and Molly travel back in time to solve a mystery from the Order of the Problem Solvers, along with lots of kid humor mixed in. It was a fun way to enjoy our car ride together and opened the door for some interesting conversation about history and understanding some of the mysteries of the past. Episodes drop every Thursday and are about 15 minutes long, the perfect length for car rides and mealtimes, and stacked with so much laughter that your kiddos won't even realize how much they're learning. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
You're listening to Voices of Your Village. This is episode number 70. So many folks ask me about raising siblings. Like, how do you raise kiddos, and can you raise kiddos to have like a loving, empathetic connection with one another where they aren't fighting constantly or in battle with one another? And the answer is yes. Yes, you can totally do this. And it'll look different for every kiddo because every kiddo's emotional intelligence is going to be different. But at the core of this is raising empathetic humans. And I have been following my friend Nicole on Instagram for a while. She is just a peach of a human. And she has two little girls. And I've watched their evolution as sisters from one becoming a big sister for the first time to like how that kind of evolved over time, having an infant sister to having a toddler sister, and what that looks like and how that can change. And these little girls have such a loving relationship, and they still disagree, they still have conflict, and they navigate it with kindness and empathy. And so I reached out to Nicole to tell us how she's fostered this. What has she done? What did it look like with just one? And how did she lay that groundwork early? How has it ebbed and flowed through different ages and stages? And what are they looking ahead to? What groundwork are they laying for the future? This isn't something that just happens. I think it's something we have to be really intentional with, and I'm really excited to share this episode with you. Nicole has so many awesome tips for things that she has done and tangible things you can put into your life today too. All right, let's dive in.
Welcome to Voices of Your Village, a place where parents, caregivers, teachers, and experts come to support one another on this wild ride of raising tiny humans. We combine decades of experience with the latest research to create the modern parenting village. Let's dive into honest conversation about real parenting challenges so it doesn't have to be this hard. I'm your host, sleep consultant, child development specialist, and passionate feminist, Alyssa Blass Campbell. Hey everyone, welcome to Voices of Your Village. Today I get to hang out with my friend Nicole to talk about siblings, and this was a topic I got so many questions on from you guys. Hey Nicole, how are you?
Hi, good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about your family?
Absolutely. So I am married to my wonderful husband, Matt. And we have two little girls, Olivia and Emmy. Olivia is 4 and Emmy is 2. And we are from the Northeast, little town in a state called Delaware. And we recently moved to Nashville about almost two years ago. And we love it.
That's awesome. I love Nashville. We visited a couple times and it's like one of my favorite places to pop down and visit.
It is the best. It is awesome.
That's rad. And your girls are two of my favorite humans on the internet.
Oh, thank you.
Olivia just cracks me up. And Emmy is just a ball of cuteness.
I mean, yeah, Olivia has so much oh my goodness, the things that come out of her mouth, they surprise us daily. Like, she's a riot. She really is. And then Emmy's just this like happy-go-lucky little girl. And then now it's interesting though to see Emmy's personality develop, because now she's getting to be a little bit sassy. I don't know if she's picking it up from Olivia, but she'll like cross her arms and be like, no, and just kind of like stand her ground sometimes. And it's so funny to see, because we're not used to that.
Yeah, so totally.
Like, it's cute.
Yeah, good for her standing that
ground.
I know,
that's what I say. I'm always like, okay, Em, good for you.
What's the exact age difference between them? Is it exactly 2 years, or is there a little bit of difference?
They are 21 months apart.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's actually something I got a lot of questions about, was like having a second kiddo, quote unquote, early here, like under that 2 year mark. First of all, bless you, because two under two is no joke. But did you have chats with Olivia before Emmy arrived about like being a big sister and all that jazz? Like, how much of that did you kind of prep her for?
I prepped her a lot, because one of the big things, I was so nervous to have another when Olivia was our world. And when you're pregnant with your second, it's so hard to imagine what life's going to be like. And the first thing you automatically think of is, how is this going to affect my first child? And so I there would be days that I was just so upset, not that I was pregnant with our second, but just upset thinking about spending less time with Olivia. And I had to really just kind of, you know, I reached out to friends who had two, and they all, you know, gave me the same advice that like, you love them equally, and you know, your heart just grows bigger for both of them, and that you make it work, and you find the time. And it, you know, I think I had the most anxiety about it like 2 weeks before Emmy was born. And then when she was born, introducing them was also another situation I was a little nervous about. But it went really well. And I think because I was so nervous about it, that it could only, you know, I expected the worst. Like, I was like, Olivia is not going to adjust well. She's not going to like the baby. Like, there's going to be this huge transition period that we're going to have to adjust to. And it wasn't like that at all, thankfully. And I do think I prepared Olivia by reading her books about being a big sister and what that means. And getting her, I think I got her a gift when we brought the baby home and said, this is from your new baby sister. That was another thing I had, somebody had told me to do, and that helped. But really just talking to her, like, you're going to be a big sister, making it this like big, great thing. And then we bought a baby doll for her to take care of, and rock and hold, and said, this is, you know, the baby's in mommy's belly. Just a lot of explaining to her in ways that she would understand at, gosh, I don't even know if she was two yet. So, or I think she was, yeah. How old was she? 21 months apart. And
yeah, so just under two.
And a half,
yeah,
maybe?
Just under two.
Yes. Yeah.
That's wild.
And I didn't think too, that was the other thing. Like, is she going to understand this? Yeah. I was like, not sure if she was going to understand what was happening or what I was explaining to her, but I think she did. I think it helped her adjust for sure.
Yeah. I think that they take in so much more than we often give them credit for, so much younger than we often give them credit for. And so it can feel, when they can't respond to us with like full sentences, it can often feel like you are just like talking to a being who like might not be processing all of it. But I think it is really important that you're giving them the information anyway. Even like, I think of even like with infants, when I'm changing them or whatever, I'm still talking them through it, whether they're taking all those words in or not. I think that's really huge.
Yeah, I think that's so important.
Did you see any pushback from Olivia or any challenging behaviors? I guess, especially early on, when it's a transition for everybody to go through.
Mm-hmm. So we did not see many, you know, issues with her in the beginning. It's actually starting to happen now that Emmy's getting older, because she really took on her role as big sister. And so Emmy was the baby, and just Emmy was, you know, she needed to protect Emmy and play with Emmy. There's not much Emmy was doing to annoy Olivia. Now it's a completely different story. Now I feel like I'm really working daily to build their relationship, to teach them lessons about how you interact with your sister, and sharing is like probably our biggest challenge right now, because at 2 and 4, Emmy wants everything Olivia has, but everything Olivia has is very special to her and she doesn't want baby sister to ruin it. So that's been our biggest challenge right now. In the early days, no. And, you know, I also tandem nursed them as well. So I think that may have helped a little bit with the bonding between them, because I had that downtime with both of them at the same time, which was so nice. But yeah, so most of our challenges are starting to happen now around like the 2 and 4 age.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Being back to work after maternity leave has been so good and frankly, so hard. I love what I do and I missed collaborating with my team while I was out, and it's been a tough transition. The combination of a packed schedule and still being the milk machine for Mila Bean, it's hard to juggle everything. I feel so grateful for my weekly therapy hour. Sometimes I'm just holding so much and I need a safe space to let it out and get it off my chest. I've noticed that when I don't release it, it comes out anyway, but usually in ways that aren't aligned with how I want to show up in the world. BetterHelp is such a convenient, flexible option for parents who just can't take the travel time to get to an in-person therapy visit. It's entirely online. You can show up in your jammies, always a win in my book, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and you're on your way to feeling heard. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/voices today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/voices. It's so frustrating to spend the money and effort to buy your kids clothes just to have them grow out of the size within a week, or have your kids complain that they itch, pinch, or just aren't comfortable. If you're with me on this, you've got to check out Posh Peanut. Their sensitive, skin-friendly clothes are made from viscose from bamboo, stretch with your kid as they grow, and they're also made to last. Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, super cute clothing for kids and families. It is the softest thing, y'all. The design is all done in-house with different patterns, and it came in the mail, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to wear this for myself every day. Their luxe women's pajamas and robes were all that I wanted to wear postpartum for nursing and hanging out on the couch with Mila. It helps so much that the fabric is breathable and chemical-free, which means they're delicate against Mila's sensitive skin too. And I totally get why Posh Peanut is loved by over 1 million parents. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code VILLAGE. Go to poshpeanut.com/VILLAGE and use promo code VILLAGE for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/VILLAGE, promo code VILLAGE.
That makes sense. I've gotten some questions from folks who are like, I'm giving this baby so much attention that even if they haven't seen pushback yet, that they're like, I feel like it's going to happen. It's going to be on the horizon, essentially.
I think a good way to, I guess a good way around that is to just try and get the older sibling involved as much as possible when you're changing diapers, like come over here and look at baby's diaper, or you know, when you're feeding them, like, can you rub baby's cheek or do this to help mommy? Like, make them feel like they're a big helper and that they're involved in some way, even if it's just for a few minutes before you're like, okay, honey, like, go read a book or mommy's going to put on a show. Like, just that little interaction right in the beginning, I think is really helpful.
Yeah, I love that. I just interviewed my mom, came out a couple weeks ago, and I'm one of 5 kids. And the first two were like 18 months apart. And then she had my third brother 2 years later. So she had 3, like 4, 2, and a newborn. Wild. And so I was asking her about this, though, like, how was that for the 4 and the 2-year-old for you to have a newborn, especially that 4-year-old who it's just more splitting of time. And she was like, honestly, like, for me, I felt like I was just teaching them how to be in a family. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be our family.
Absolutely. That's a really good way to put it. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I was like, ooh, that's a good answer, Mom. You crushed it. So now when you're looking at the sharing and all that jazz from the outside Instagram view, for me, it looks like, I've seen Emmy, I guess, assert herself a little bit more. There was something with the fridge the other day where she wanted to put it back the exact yes. way possible. And Olivia yeah. at first was like, no, I'll help you. I'm the big sister, whatever. And Emmy stood her ground. And yeah, I was like, get it, sister. So yeah. but Olivia then like let her have some space to try it. Emmy tried it. She couldn't reach. And then Olivia was like, oh, I'm a little bit taller. I could help you. And even just like how she yes. framed that, I was like, that's impressive. How have you laid that foundation? You. Yeah. How have you laid that foundation from like an empathy standpoint?
So whenever conflict arises with the girls, I typically ask them what's wrong. And if they can't really like talk about it, I just kind of get down on their level, make eye contact. And I'm just like to Olivia, especially because she can understand at her age. I ask her, how would you feel if Emmy did this to you? And just to kind of put her in Emmy's shoes and make her feel what she would feel. And, you know, Olivia always responds, I would feel sad. And I said, well, how do you think Emmy feels? And she'll say, sad. And so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But just kind of putting her in that situation and letting her and kind of forcing her to understand, what is my sister feeling? I think that's helped a lot. And if it doesn't work, then we have this little exercise we do where we just hold hands and we take deep breaths. And that usually helps really calm the girls down. And then I also give them hugs, like just big hugs, because it's such big feelings and big emotions. And even though sometimes as a mom, it can be frustrating, especially when, you know, they're fighting over something absolutely ridiculous, or Olivia is just, you know, wants something, but I always just remember they're so little, and I just always offer a hug, and most of the time that works.
Awesome. A couple things there like stood out for me. A, I love the crap out of the breathing. This is our goal, right? Is that like down the road when they have a big emotion as an adult that they can pause and breathe before they respond. Yes. Yes. And B was the modeling. I mean, modeling that, you modeling the breathing and modeling the empathy. And then Olivia is modeling that for Emmy now.
Yes, absolutely. Emmy loves taking deep breaths. It's so funny to see. Like the second I say, okay, let's take a deep breath, she is all in. It's adorable.
I love that. Well, and my guess is that even before Emmy came along, that you were laying this emotional foundation for Olivia. Like, I think it's not something that we just yes. start doing Olivia one day.
Olivia has very big emotions ever since she was born. And so I've always wanted to find the best ways to help her manage them. And breathing has always been one of the exercises that we do. And I do it with them. So she feels like we're doing it together. And I think that really helps.
That's awesome. And modeling that language. I mean, like when Liv opened that fridge and she changed how she worded it, she was calm and present with Emmy and still was like, I'm going to figure out how to do this thing that I want to do, but I'm going to do it in a way that works for Emmy too. And that comes from modeling.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, you're crushing it, sister. I love that.
If you're loving this podcast, then you would love our Tiny Humans Big Emotions membership. Every month I go live on a different topic in emotional development so you can ask your questions in real time. Then I give you bonus tools for implementing it. And as if that wasn't already jazzy enough, we do a Q&A 2 weeks later so that you can come back and share what's going well and ask questions about things that you want some more support on. I get to guide you through implementing these approaches in real time so that we can raise emotionally intelligent humans together. The coolest part? You can have all of this for less than $15 a month. Less than 50 cents a day, friends. Head on over to tinyhumansbigemotions.com to join us for our next live workshop.
So, did you ever see any like hitting or anything like that between them?
Yes. And that's recent, very recent. Emmy, and we don't hit. So,
yeah.
I know people say like that, I don't know. I think there's something where people say like kids model what they see like with hitting, but I have never, we don't hit. And so she, when Emmy gets frustrated, that Olivia has something, Emmy will be the one. She's our little hitter. She'll just like go up to Olivia and slap her. And I have to, you know, of course, stop her and say, Emmy, we do not hit. That is not okay. You're going to hurt your sister and give her boo-boos. And so she understands it. And then she'll immediately go up to Olivia and start kissing her arm. And she'll go, sorry, Poopy. She calls her Poopy because she thinks she's being funny. It's her personality lately is just hysterical. She calls everybody Poopy because she thinks she's being funny.
It is funny. Yeah. It made me laugh.
Yeah. So she'll go out to Olivia and I'll say, Emmy, say sorry to Olivia, please.
Yeah.
And give her a hug. And she'll give her a hug, kiss her arm, and go, sorry, Poopy.
That's
but it's
so
better
cute.
Than nothing. It works. And they both laugh, totally. And then it's over, you know?
Yeah.
And then with Olivia can sometimes get aggressive where she'll just be like, oh, Emmy, no, let go. Or like just those frustrated feelings. And she'll say, I'm so frustrated. And I'm like, I understand, honey, but baby sisters, like sometimes they just want to be like you, or they just want to play with the things that you're playing with. Like it's your job as a big sister to teach her and protect her, not to hurt her. And so she understands that. And I'm constantly saying that over and over. And then I'll find situations that happen throughout the day where, you know, Emmy's walking up the stairs and Olivia will stop to walk behind her to make sure she doesn't fall. And it's little things like that I'm like, okay, she does get it. Like this is working in some way, whether I'm seeing it right then and there or they're doing it on their own.
Yeah.
I think it helps. It's just, yeah.
I love that.
This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical grade ingredients. Active Skin Repair uses a molecule called hypochlorous acid, which mimics our natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. We've been loving Active Skin Repair for all the cuts and scrapes that show up in the active toddler life. Sage loves that there's both the spray version, but also a cream version. He likes to get to choose which one he's going to do. He calls it the magic cream. And it's been so great for taking care of Mila's neck rash now that she's full on teething. Can we get a minute for a teething 3.5-month-old? What in the world? Active Skin Repair has thousands of 5-star reviews, and the ingredients so safe and clean, they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, keeping it simple with one soothing solution for all your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and to get 20% off your order, use code VILLAGE. That's www.activeskinrepair.com, code VILLAGE for 20% off your order. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormone changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Hormone Harmony is perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put your life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all these things. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like yourself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code VILLAGE at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code VILLAGE for 15% off today.
And I've talked about this on an episode before, but I believe in a 4-to-1 ratio of like every one negative behavior we're talking to kids about, I want to be highlighting 4 positive things.
And oh, that's great.
It just like there's science to back it up, but I think we can often like step in or intervene in the challenge times. But I've noticed you doing this again through Instagram. But if I'm noticing it on the gram, like it's happening more often than that, but where you'll highlight, it'll be a video and Olivia will do something so small that you could easily overlook, but something that's kind or helpful, and you'll acknowledge it. You'll say, yeah, like, Olivia, that was so nice of you to help your sister. That was so kind. And I think if we can point out those little moments, we can build them up with like, that's how you're going to get that like praise, or I'm proud of you when you're doing that. And I shared a post yesterday that was like, we don't live up to our potential. We live up to our identity. And that can become your identity. If you're told that you're a kind, helpful sister, that's who you'll be.
Yes. Every night before bed, we talk about our favorite part of the day. And we also talk about our favorite things about each other. So they fall asleep every night with me telling them, you're so smart, you're so kind, you're so beautiful, you're so funny. And when I tell Emmy these things, she's like half asleep and she'll giggle. And it's just a nice way to end the day, because you get, not every day is perfect. And there's so many days where I'm like, oh, like I should have been nicer. I should have. And then we end our day every day just with so many positive things, and just, and I make them tell each other that they love them, give your sister a good kiss, a kiss good night. And that's just how we end our day every day. And I think it helps a lot.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, no day will be perfect and there will be hard emotions, and they get to learn to navigate those and to know that at the end of every day, you love them and you're proud of them. That's so beautiful. I love
Definitely.
It. What have you guys done for like splitting time? Do you guys have any sort of like, I guess, schedule or anything like that, or system for splitting time and getting one-on-one time with the kiddos?
We do. So because Emmy is such a night owl, she is in this very odd napping like transition where some days she doesn't nap, but when she does, because she really needs a nap still. So when she naps, she will go to sleep and then wake up around dinner time. We all have dinner together. And then I get Olivia to sleep at like 7, and little Emmy, sure enough, will not go to sleep at 7. So she's up with me for like 2 hours. But it's nice because the house is quiet and that's my time with her. And then Olivia during the day, we'll do girls dates where I'll take her to gymnastics, and then we'll go, grab a cake pop or something. Like afterwards we sit down and just, have that time together. And so she loves that.
That's so nice.
The Emmy's one-on-one time is more so in the house after Olivia goes to sleep, or if we need to, I don't think we're that great on taking Emmy out. Like I've never actually taken Emmy out by herself, out like and about.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
Come with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was number 4 of 5. So like there was just no alone time. It was just like, yeah, you're going to your brother's basketball game. Like, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't think it's like an essential part of being.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you hope for them as siblings as they continue to grow? And I guess like, how do you plan to foster that through the different ages and stages?
So my mom is one of 3 girls, and unfortunately I've witnessed the damage that their mom has done as far as creating conflict and drama between the sisters. So I try so hard to not have that. Like that would be my worst nightmare, is to have my girls not get along or not speak to each other or fight with each other. So, I mean, every day I tell them, I must say it probably 3 or 4 times a day. And then I also have them say it to each other. Your sister is your best friend. Like she is your best friend. Your job is to love each other and be there for each other. You're going to have each other forever, the rest of your lives. And I'll ask Emmy like randomly throughout the day. I'll be like, Emmy, quick, who's your best friend? And she'll go, Olivia. And then I do the same. I'll say, Olivia, who's your best friend? And she'll go, Emmy. And so just then saying it every day and just, I don't know. We talk about it a lot. So I think hopefully talking about it and making sure they're giving each other a hug at least once a day and being kind to each other at least, you know, a couple times a day, I think that'll really help them grow. And if there ever is a conflict, I never blame one or the other. And I, when they're older too, like if one comes to me, I'm just thinking down the road in the future, yeah. If Olivia were to come to me and say something about her baby sister, I would spin it in a way that wasn't her talking about her. And, you know, just trying to make mm-hmm. a positive out of something.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that would be awful if they did not grow up close and best friends forever, I would be really upset.
And what do you do when there is a conflict where like, say Emmy did go up and hit Olivia, like how do you navigate that without placing blame?
So I usually ask Olivia, why did Emmy hit you? Like I try and go a couple steps back and mm-hmm. ask her, like find out what actually happened in the situation. And then I just talk about each of their behavior in that situation.
Yeah.
And then I explain to Emmy, you don't hit Emmy. And then right. I say to Olivia, you know, you can't hog a toy. Like you right. have to have your time with it. And then Emmy gets a turn. And yeah. that's pretty much it. Like I just kind of go a couple steps back and figure out what was the cause of Emmy hitting. Not Emmy, you shouldn't hit, you're a bad kid. Like
right.
that. Yeah. I just try and dig a little deeper.
Yeah, I love that. I call it sports casting when we just say what we see, right? Like if you see it happen, I'm not going to be like, oh, you're really mad because so-and-so took your toy. I'm just going to say, I see that you look really sad. You're crying and they have a spatula and they're running away. Let's figure out what happened, right? Like, rather than like they did this to you. Right. This is what I see. Let's figure it out. I also love my sister-in-law and my brother. They have twins who are 6 and a half and the kiddos are best friends. And aww. It's really, really sweet. And I've also similarly to what you were just saying, like I've watched my sister-in-law really foster that by saying like, this is how it is to be in our family. Like not just this is your mm-hmm. sibling and you love each other, but we all do this for each other. The four of us are in this together, man.
Yeah.
And we're going to love you no matter what. And your brother's going to love you no matter what. Your sister's going to love you no matter what. And we can talk through it and we can figure it out. Everybody in this family like wants what's best for the other person. And that throughout the ages and stages has been like her message to them in developmentally appropriate ways. But I love that it's never been like a, oh yeah, they will do this to you sometimes because they're your brother. It was like, no, it just was not accepted.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. I love that approach. That's awesome.
If you could tell yourself pre-Emmy one thing about what was to come, what would it be?
That your love just completely doubles. Like you think you love this first child so much that you might not have loved that second child as much, but that is not true at all. And as a mom, you love your children equally and you love them hard, and you know, just any worry you have thinking about what would it be like to bring in a second child, it's been the best thing ever to see their bond, to be able to parent two kids and know that they're going to have each other for the rest of their lives. Like it's been the best. Yeah. And I'm an only child. So
you are, I was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, it's even more special to see because I don't know what it's like. And so to have my girls have each other and to see their relationship, it's so amazing.
That's awesome. My husband's an only child. And on our first date, I found out he was an only child. And I said, oh, I don't date only children. I was like, you won't understand any of this.
So funny.
And he said, well, I have four moms and a dad. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. Okay. I'll explore this further. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Turns out I don't date him. I just marry him. So good. Awesome. Well, Nicole, where can people come check out these adorable tiny humans and follow along with your journey?
So my Instagram handle is the DG Girls, and my website is, well, actually we're rebranding right now to NicoleDG.com, but right now it's thislovelylife.com or thedggirls.com. We have so many, this is why we're rebranding.
I love it.
But yeah, you can find me on Instagram. Just search Nicole D. Jacoby on Instagram. We're the DG Girls.
I love it. We will also link to that in our blog post and as well to your website. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing
Thank
your journey
you
with these
having
girls.
Me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're the bomb.
Thanks for tuning in to Voices of Your Village. Check out the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at voicesofyourvillage.com. Did you know that we have a special community for all of you to be a part of so that we can all gather together to raise emotionally intelligent humans? Head on over to Facebook, search Seed and Sow : Voices of Your Village, and dive into that Facebook group. We cannot wait to hang out with you and collaborate on raising these tiny humans. If you're digging this podcast, head on over to Apple Podcasts, scroll down, click those stars, and leave a review. It really fills my heart to hear from all of you.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.